Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. Well, how's your day going? This is the day the Lord hath made. We're to rejoice and be glad in it. Had to remind myself and my church last night that you have no problems. You need to continue to say that. You have only opportunities to serve God. And I continue to say, no matter what's going on in your world, and yesterday was really bad. Going to talk about this later. Really bad at the Patton household. The worst in months and months and months, so you know it was bad. Still, it's that attitude. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm so grateful I'm saved. I'm so glad that God continues to use me. You're not going to beat me, Satan. That's the attitude you and I need to have, my friend. No matter what state you're in, ask this question. God, how can I best glorify you in all this stuff going on in my world? It's a great question, and that'll help get things into perspective. And remember, there's always someone, oh, absolutely, always someone in worse shape than you are today. So remember those folks in prayer and get that focus off of you and onto others. God will bless you mightily because it is the right spiritual attitude. To God be the glory. Great things he is doing. What in the world is going on? Where did this come from? The New York Attorney General yesterday sued former President Donald Trump, the Trump Organization, three of his adult children, and others for allegedly widespread fraud involving years' worth of false financial statements related to the company business. 220 pages in the civil lawsuit filed in the Manhattan Supreme Court seeking $250 million in damages against the Trump team. It also seeks to permanently bar Trump, Trump Jr., Eric Trump, Ivanka, from serving as an officer of the company in New York, and permanently prohibits the Trump companies named in the suit from doing any business in the New York State. Wow. Attorney General said she asked prosecutors in Manhattan and the IRS to investigate Trump for possible federal crimes. You knew they were going to continue to pour it on, trying to bury this guy so he doesn't get back in the White House. They say that Trump has exaggerated his wealth by billions of dollars. What in the world? Where is this one going to go? Meanwhile, former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, you remember him. There was a big feud there between Trump and this guy. He predicted that the Attorney General, their newly announced fraud investigation into the former president, will end Donald Trump and the Trump Organization. It will put an end to the entire company. Oh, boy. Well, here's a hint, kind of the world that you and I live in. A diversity and inclusion training program by the United States Air Force Academy in Colorado instructs cadets to use words that include all genders and refrain from saying things like mom and dad. This slide presentation titled Diversity and Inclusion, and they should say, and demons, what it is, why we care, and what we can do. That's the title. It says cadets are to use person-centered and gender-neutral language when describing individuals. Some families are headed by single parents and grandparents and foster parents, and some have two moms and two dads and other, let me throw this in, demonic leanings. Consider parent or caregiver. Those would be better words than mom and dad. And I have to ask the question, oh, never mind. Well, Facebook, Meta, Zuckerberg's back in the news. Complaints have been filed legally now against Zuckerberg and three other groups. They say they were involved in a scheme to inject nearly $500 million into the 2020 election in order to throw it over to President Joe Biden, the mail-in president, Joe Obama. Biden ultimately defeated Trump, winning key swing states in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. An extra $500 million to help you out there, Big Joe, Sleepy Joe, Grandpa Joe. Oh, good grief, Charlie Brown. Probably be a good idea to check that North Dakota man out for mental problems, accused of killing a teenager with his car following a political argument. Yeah, Democrat versus Republican here. He says he doesn't understand the charges against him. 41-year-old Shannon Grant spent a few days in the county jail, said $50,000 bond was just beyond him, didn't understand why it would be. I don't understand what's going on, he told the judge. Grant objected to the bail amount, saying it was not a flight risk, and he killed a man, but his concern is, I have a job, a life, a house, and things I don't exactly want to see go to the wayside. Family, they're all very important to me. Yeah? What don't you understand here, sir? You killed somebody with your car. Well, let's go to the public. Let's go to the world from coast to coast and see what they think of Joe Biden and his handling of the economy. People in New York and San Francisco graded how well the mail-in president is doing. Horrible! That was the basic consensus. I don't even want to talk about it, said Keith in San Francisco. I don't even know if Biden is conscious sometimes. Really? Oh, but Susan out there in San Francisco thought problems with the economy were really out of Biden's control. He's doing all he can do as president in an executive position. This thing can't fall on his shoulders. Are you kidding me, lady? Really? It was a quick trip to Moronville. So, we're getting ready for the midterms. What's on your mind? Conservative versus liberal? Demons versus Democrats versus, you get several top political analysts, including veteran strategist and nutcase James Carville. He is a trip. Back the Democratic Party's midterm, they're focusing on abortion as the big deal. That's where they're going to go, despite recent polls indicating that independent voters are concerned more about inflation and what's happening in the economy. While abortion has some concern with Democrats, I guess, it hasn't become the top issue for the majority of voters in most polls. But to Carville, he's a longtime advisor to Clinton, the GOP message on the economy just isn't clear as the Democrats' messages on abortion. How do you, peaches and that, what are we talking about here? Oh, these people. So you're a part of the Southern Baptist group? The Southern Baptist Convention's top administrative body voted now to cut ties with two congregations yesterday, an LGBT queer-friendly church in North Carolina that had itself quit the denomination decades ago, and a New Jersey congregation it cited for alleged discriminatory behavior. The votes of the executive committee came at the end of a two-day meeting in Nashville, Tennessee. Even as the committee copes with a Department of Justice investigation, the federal law scrutiny follows a blistering report by a consultant earlier this year into sexual abuse in Southern Baptist settings and mistreatment of survivors by past executive committee officials. And some with an honest concern voiced it this way. We've grieved, we're brokenhearted for everything that these people have experienced. We recognize here that we have a really long way to go. What else is happening? Germany said it will nationalize major natural gas importer Uniper in the country's latest bid to shore up its energy supply and wean itself from Russia. TikTok is banning all political campaign fundraising from its platform, starting by shutting down both advertising and monetization features for politicians' accounts. Taco Bell's going to do it. They plan to start testing a plant-based carne asada made with Beyond Meat at Ohio restaurants starting in October. And Google co-founder Larry Page is shutting down his flying car business called Kitty Hawk. They say that's bad news for Jetsons fans. Oh, brother. And some people reading here about a guy who traveled hours and spent thousands of dollars so he could be in line to get the very first iPhone 14, which, by the way, they say is having some problems with its focus. And, of course, they're wondering how that's all going to work. I don't know about that stuff. Hey, let's do a living in today's world part here. Another Christian story? Absolutely. Fox News anchor Shannon Bream opened up about the power of faith during her life's darkest moments and hope that her story can help other people. I've been very open about this cornea disease that I have, said Bream. That was on Ainsley's Bible Study on Fox Nation, hosted by Fox and Friends. Bream told People magazine in November about her struggle with the extremely painful chronic condition that first struck her in the middle of the night shortly before her 40th birthday and persisted for 2 years. I was in searing pain, she told People. I couldn't get any rest. The ongoing condition that Bream said felt like she was being stabbed in the eyes prevented her from sleeping for more than 2 hours at a time. She suffered from double vision and migraines and had to constantly use eye drops throughout the day. It took me almost 2 years to get diagnosed by going through numbers of doctors. Bream said that she thought she couldn't take any more after being told by one doctor that she was just being too emotional about it. Those were definitely my darkest days, she remembered, and I felt suicidal, living in chronic pain. Bream's husband, Sheldon, had previously overcome his own serious health challenges. He was diagnosed with a brain tumor at 24 years of age, and after surgery to remove the benign growth, he was left with temporary but severe facial paralysis. In those moments, Bream said that both she and her husband leaned on faith and on one another. I felt so blessed. Where do you go if you don't have a faith cushion to fall into? Because there are moments for both of us just praying, God help me. Those three words, God help me. That's it. That's all. Even when you can't put out a prayer, I think he knows what's in your heart and soul. Isn't that great? Bream said the Bible verse that helped her face this ordeal. This is from 2 Corinthians, she said. Bream told Earhart, where Paul had a thorn in his side and he kept asking God to take it away, and God didn't, and he had to learn to live with it. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, she read. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Isn't this great? On television, Fox. Thankfully, Bream eventually found a doctor who was able to diagnose her condition as chronic erosion syndrome, exacerbated by corneal map dot fingerprint dystrophy. Say that three times, Ruth. She prayed that God would send her the perfect doctor that would help heal her, and she went to the doctor that diagnosed her immediately the very next day after prayer. My faith is the only thing and my amazing husband that got me through this. I think that people watching this who have suffered so many things, maybe they're suffering right now, and I pray they would just know that God is a source of unconditional love and acceptance, and he can pull you through anything in life. Oh, I like this. I think our greatest moment of pain can be our greatest chance to grow in our faith and to share it and to hopefully bring someone back from the brink, she said. That is tremendous. From darkest days, some back from the brink. I like it. So you get word today of death in the family or with friends. What now?
Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this.
So first join me on Facebook and then listen to Hello World here in the Fort Wayne, Indiana area via the internet. Thanks to WHCB Radio.
I think this is it. One of our Facebook friends said, hey, reading you on Facebook or any text, or just like hearing you in person and on the radio, you're one and the same. Oh, I like it. We talked yesterday about our Facebook prayer list. Are you on it? It is a good thing, my Christian friend.
All kinds of prayer requests come across, information that we use daily on Hello World, all a part of Facebook, and you are not there. What is your problem? I'm teasing. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N, love to have you on board on Facebook with us. People joining every day, 7 days a week, and we're looking for you. G-R-E-G, P-A-T-T-E-N, on Facebook. Join us now. Be my friend.
Well, I told my church last night, yesterday, one of the worst days in years. Just one thing after another. Family problems. Somebody hit my truck. The list goes on and on. Sometimes you just wonder, are you sure, Lord, that you're not going to give me more than I can handle? Have you asked that recently? Oh, it's always something, isn't it? It's just part of living in today's world and Life 101.
So I said it earlier in the show, and I've repeated it hundreds of times because it's true.
Trouble ain't trouble till it hits me. And you know what I mean. Let's say today you find out that someone you love has been in a really bad car crash or diagnosed with cancer with 30 days to live or any number of scenarios. The cry might go out, no, God, please don't call him or her home. Please don't do that. That could be a desperate cry today ringing throughout your home, wherever you might live. It's been heard by people daily for centuries. After a frantic morning of sketchy news reports, unhelpful phone calls to American Airlines, and some unanswered questions, Cheryl just received the devastating news. Her husband, Tom, co-pilot of that now-famous Flight 11 plane, was one of the first victims of the September 11th tragedy as his flight crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center. It's been a few years, but it's still very much in the mind of all Americans. It was just a cool September morning there in New Hampshire. This woman said she sat on her back deck, she recalls, grabbing my Bible, a quilt, a hot coffee, excited that I was about to have a half hour before I had to start doing my typical mom stuff for the day. Then the annoying ring of the phone broke the morning's peacefulness and marked the beginning of a really nightmare journey for me. That first phone began a barrage of calls and visitors and news reports that seemed only to bring about more questions than it did answers. All of the television news reports were unclear. Friends came over. Women were praying with me. I was on the phone with the airline, but they weren't telling me anything at this point. It wasn't until the chief pilot came over to my house in person that I knew something. That's when I heard what had really happened. Cheryl's most overwhelming memory of that day, though, was having to go to her children's school to tell them that their father was forever gone. I went to tell my children, just knowing in my heart that I couldn't even think of how I'm going to tell them this. Seeing her son walk into the principal's office, she held him closely and uttered the only words that came to mind. "Tommy, Jesus has called Daddy home." The teens later assured her that she had delivered the news in the most comforting way possible. Cheryl recalls a bright spot in the healing process with her daughter. Jennifer was driving to school one day, and she said to me, "Mom, I'm so glad that you're not angry at God. I know God didn't cause this to happen. God is getting me through this, and he is my strength," said Cheryl. Likewise, her son offered comfort and solace at this grieving time with a grieving mother. One night I was crying, and Tommy put his arm around my shoulders, gave me a big hug, and said, "Mom, everything's going to be all right. Our life on this earth is so short. Our life in heaven with Daddy is for eternity." Wow, that could put a lump in your throat. The past year been a time of radical transition for this family. Cheryl's chief responsibility in ministry explains is taking care of the kids. "My days are really filled. I'm really busy with things that are serving the Lord, even if that means simply making dinner for my family and being home at night to listen and help with their homework. To me, that's serving the Lord. It doesn't have to be anything bigger than that in life." However, holding her family together is not Cheryl's only ministry. Months after the terror attack, she was asked to speak at her home congregation, Bethany Church in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. She delivered a message that she calls the Trust God message. The focus of that presentation was the need to trust God for every breath you take, she explains, which was the only way for her to begin this long, long process of healing. After that service, she was approached by a church member who asked her to speak at a business convention she was organizing. Startled by the request, she replied, "I don't want to speak. I don't know how to speak. And I'm so broken. Why would anyone want to come and hear a broken-hearted person speak?" After praying for some guidance, she agreed and was stunned by the response of many people who came to hear her story of broken hearts and God's healing touch. And since then, this woman has shared the Trust God message with many different churches around America, civic groups, charities, organizations, sometimes reaching crowds of thousands. Her growing passion, however, is to minister to women. Touched by the massive outpouring of love and prayer and wise counsel from the women in her own church, Cheryl now works toward giving back by being a source of biblical strength and encouragement to hurting and broken women. How has Cheryl changed? "It feels like I've learned to trust God and depend on him for everything. I've had to. Every part of my journey which led me to a new message on forgiveness and my legacy. How can this victim of unimaginable evil speak about forgiveness? It's a recent attitude shift that came from a most unlikely source, and that being her late husband, Tom. I actually found a book that was one of Tom's Bible studies, with his thoughts and notes and favorite scriptures underlined. The scriptures that he had underlined were passages for forgiveness and how to forgive. And this began a very difficult journey for Cheryl, as she started to explore how and why she might one day forgive those men who took her husband from her. I guess going forward for me, the challenge is to work toward forgiving the people who have done this. To her, forgiveness is essential in the final healing process of her shattered heart. If I dwell on the bad things that the hijackers have done, it will only make me angry, and the angry will turn to resentment. And my resentment will then turn to bitterness. I want my heart to be healed completely, and to have that happen, I have to forgive. Cheryl seeks this restoration not only for herself, but for her kids, knowing that she can teach forgiveness to her kids only by modeling it. Now, that's a good message. Cheryl became aware of her own behavior. This is yet another lesson that Tom taught me about the family since his death. Going through his things, she found a note that Tom had written to himself in a Bible study guide. In his own handwriting, this echoed from the grave. I want to be more like Jesus, because my son wants to be like me. Sharing this message with their son Tommy, Cheryl has begun to realize the full impact of this awesome responsibility. I know this note left a huge impression on Tommy's heart, and I know that he will pass that on to his children and my grandchildren, and I thought, what do I want to be remembered for? What is my legacy? Do I want to be remembered as an angry, bitter, resentful person? Her answer is a resounding no. Besides, God can't use me if I'm that way. I want to be sure that I remain pure and that my purpose is in line with God's plan for me in life. Remembering God's promise for hope and a future in Jeremiah 29:11, Cheryl concludes, what that September day has taught me is I really don't need to know his future plans for me. She said that when she considered her new ministry years ago, speaking to large crowds. She admits, I can honestly hear God say, if you only know the plans that I have for you. But if I knew, I'd be saying, God, don't tell me that. I can't do that. However, as long as he keeps giving me opportunities, I'll keep doing it. And I'm just thankful for what I'm able to do. Every Christian listening to this program today can be just like Cheryl. It doesn't have to be a tragedy, but you need to do all you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ today. Now, don't back off. Don't backslide in that responsibility. People, you know them, family member and friends today, need Jesus Christ as Savior. And they also need the hope that is in you. And you're supposed to give an answer to every man that asketh the hope that's within. You have it, my friend. Do your job today. And finally, oh, this one is bad. Married couple, 60 years old, celebrating their 35th anniversary, and during their wedding party, a fairy appeared to congratulate them and grant them one wish. The wife wanted to travel around the world. The fairy waved her wand, and poof, the wife had tickets to a worldwide cruise. Then she asked the husband, typical, I wish I had a wife 30 years younger than me. So the fairy picked up her wand, poof, and the guy was 90 years old. That didn't work out at all.
Come on, smile a little. You can laugh. It's a good medicine. Mrs. Patton and I have been together 62 years. What? Yes, I dated her 7 years before I married her, and, well, you do the math, huh? It's been great. Not always perfect, but it has been great.
How you doing? This is Thursday,
September 22nd, 2022. Had to say for another day. God bless. Enjoy the remainder of your day. Tomorrow, that'll be great.